go alphabetically, just so that way you don't show like we're showing favoritism, because none of them want to go first. So I thought about making, you know, ladies go first and making the girl go first, but she said no. So she said, please don't. So we're going to have Christian Bateman come up front. So we just want to say, have our graduates come up. We give them a Bible, and we just try to encourage them with some different things. It's kind of neat if you look at all our graduates. They've been coming to our church for a long time. You know how long you've been coming?
Since I was little.
Since he was little. They were here when we got here. And this year, this month marks 14 years that we've been here. So they've been coming here for a long time, and we're thankful for them. It's nice to watch Christian grow up. It's nice to see his faithfulness. One of the things I appreciate about Christian is his determination. I've been able to have the opportunity to watch him play sports, watch him teen activities and other things like that. And if it's something he enjoyed, he was going to keep on doing his best and doing his best and doing his best till he got done. I was trying to think of something nice to say about him. And I went to the source. I went to ask Allison, okay, I'm looking to say something good about your brother. And she said he wears bow ties, and he's the only guy in her church that has enough guts, or I don't know what you want to call it, to wear a bow tie. So, but we're thankful for him. He has ministered in a lot of different areas, a lot of different ways over the years here at Faith Baptist Church. One of the ways, as you noticed, is he just sang, and Lord's using him in that way, in that area. He graduated a few Friday nights ago. He plans on going to Pensacola Christian College. He's going to go to study about becoming an athletic director there and just go and work at a Christian school someday. That's what he believes the Lord's leading him to, and encourage him to just follow the Lord and follow his way. So we're going to look for some words of wisdom. And I encourage from this morning's message is to find delight in God. Christian, you know, he can get passionate about things. You should see him at sporting events and things. But just make sure there's nothing wrong with delighting in those things. But as you delight in the Lord, the Bible says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Young people, we all had desires as young people. We all had big plans. But if you put God first, he will give you those desires. So Christian, thank you. Yes, sir.
It's Megan Only's turn. Megan is scared half to death because I've been telling her for weeks that I'm going to embarrass her. But since she's a young lady, we're not going to embarrass her too bad, right? So now I did ask, you know, sometimes because you don't want to go and say, okay, she hasn't graduated yet. This is coming Saturday, right? At 9 o'clock in the morning, bright and early, right? Northeastern High School. I was getting ready to say Pasquotank, but I figured you might hit me. So, and I said, you sure you're going to graduate, Megan? Because I don't want to give you this Bible and tell everybody you're graduating. She says, I think so. I got straight A's. So, So I thought she did well in school, but I didn't know it was that well. So, very thankful for her. One thing I appreciate about Megan is her spirit about her. Sometimes teenagers don't like to talk to the pastor or to the preacher or even to adults. They kind of run the other way. But I've been around Megan. Megan's always been kind, very sweet, even been to their house and visiting even for many years, you know, over there. And they've always been very kind and generous. And Megan's always had time and talked, and you know, it's just a blessing. Megan helps out in her nursery, and she's very faithful to Sunday school class. And that says a lot about teenagers today. Most teenagers don't want to get up. And so, but all these young people have been here, and they've been faithful to our church, and very thankful for that. Megan, my encouragement to you today is what we talked about in our Sunday school class. You know, we looked at in our teen Sunday school class today, prove those things that are acceptable to God. But don't even just stop there. It says prove those things are excellent in your life. Shoot for those things that God's going to be thankful for. So, Megan, congratulations. We're very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. So I think that's it, isn't it? So, we're going to ask Christian Pease to come up. So I tried and tried to think about something nice to say about Christian.
There were just too many.
Couldn't come up with anything, so here you go. Okay, I asked Andrew, and he couldn't come up with anything either. So, but we both have stories that we're willing to tell if you're willing to pay for them. So there's a lot. There's some really great stories. So we have some really good ones. So my dad made a joke last night And he said, he says, if he knew how great it was having grandkids, he would have had them first. And I don't know what it's like to have grandkids, but I do know what it's like to have sons. And, you know, it's something really special. So we're very thankful for Christian. Christian, just as the other ones, been very faithful to her church. Christian has served in many areas, very thankful for what God's doing in his life. He graduated from Pease Christian School. So is there seriously something called that? It is. It's a legal school. We homeschool Christian. And we're excited about what God's going to do in his life. For a year, he's going to take a year off. He's going to take some, well, not off. He's going to be taking classes online through Virginia Baptist College and going to be trying to work to save money. His plan is to go to Heartland Baptist Bible College in the fall of 2018. So he's going to try to get some of his classes out of the way in 2017. And in 2018, head out to there. He said, why is he doing that? It's because he needs to work to earn money so that way he can pay for college and try to save up some money for school. And we felt like that's what the Lord would have him to do and want him to do. Christian, very thankful for you. I can honestly say sometimes parents and sons or parents and children don't have the greatest relationships. But I can actually say I enjoy being around Christian. And when they became teenagers, you know, even my other son, we enjoy being there. And Christian is one of my best friends. I'm thankful for that. So Christian, very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I did not mention what Megan is planning on doing. Megan is planning on just getting a job and paying bills and getting a car and doing things like that. She has, which is great, and whatever the Lord wants for their lives. You guys going to sit there the whole time, or do you want to go back to your seats? Okay, you guys can go back to your seats now. So we also have another graduate in the room. Brandon Seidenberg is coming Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll also be graduating. We're excited about Brandon being here and thankful for Brandon and thankful for all the many, many things he has helped us around the church too. So congratulations to all four of you. So let's go ahead and get our Bibles open to Psalms chapter 37. You say, well, you didn't give Christian any helpful words of wisdom. Well, it's because that's what the message tonight is, to rest in the Lord. Psalms chapter 37, if you were not here this morning because you were in the back serving or maybe somewhere else, it's a second part of a message that we began preaching this morning, and it's in Psalms chapter 37. Psalms 37. Psalms chapter 37. Anybody here ever had to push a car up to a gas tank, gas pump? Anybody? I see a couple people. So you say, well, what's that have to do with anything? You know, because the car ran out of gas. I know that it's, many times people think it can make it. But that's not the way it's supposed to happen. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to drive a car up to the pump to put gas in it. And, here's the point is, if you have to push a car, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of effort, and you're missing the whole point. And many times in our Christian lives, we put forth so much effort that we just do not need to do. It's like we're pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, but we need to let the Holy Spirit do the work. We need to let God do the work in our hearts and God do the work in our lives. And it's sort of like pushing the car up to the gas tank, and you know, it was supposed to be driven up there. You're supposed to be filled and keep on going. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. I've never ran out of gas and had to push up to a gas tank before, but I had a car break down before. I've helped other people push their cars, and it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. And many times we put so much work and so much effort and doing things that the Holy Spirit of God wants to do and God wants to teach us. You know, tonight when we think about the graduation and the young people entering into college, into the workforce and different things like that, there's a lot of people out there that would tell you, hey, just push, work hard, get the most you can out of life. And I think it's good to work hard. I think it's something that we should all do. Many times people will tell you, you can be anything you want to be. I would tell you, be everything God wants you to be. And, tonight, I think it's an important lesson as we looked at this morning, but to try to encourage our young people to learn how to rest in God. You know, God offers rest for our weary souls. You're going to be facing things out in life that is going to sometimes traumatize people, and they're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to see, even as we grow closer and closer and farther away from God as a country, you're going to see how wicked people are prospering and wicked people are doing this and wicked people are doing that. And we wonder, why in the world doesn't God do something? We hear, we see people in the political world like a Hitler. It's like, why did God ever allow that to happen? Or Stalin, why in the world? That's what David here is telling us in this passage of scripture. He's answering this question. This is what you're supposed to do. We learned this morning in verse number 25, he says, I have been young and now I'm old. David, as an older man who has lived for God the majority of his life, and he has given of himself, a man after God's own heart, is giving some advice for those that are dealing with people that are just seems like, I don't understand why God is allowing this to happen. And in verses 1 through 8, he gives us some wonderful instructions. And I think it's really great as we look at this. We're going to remind us of the things we learned this morning, and we're going to add one thing to the list. And this one thing to the list is resting in God. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 37. We're going to read all 8 verses and give you a little reminder of what we talked about this morning. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, once again, David is speaking from experience. We know that the evil King Saul was trying to hunt David down like a dog and was trying to kill David. And, it, you know, there's many a times when the people would even encourage David when he had the opportunity to kill Saul. He says, guess go ahead and kill him. But no, that's not what David does. What does David do? He rests in the Lord. He wasn't going to touch God's anointed. He was going to allow God to take care of the situation, allow God to handle these things. And you see here, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. He says, look, don't worry about them that do evil, especially don't be envious of them. I tell you, you're going to be out there in the world today. There's going to be a lot of people who are doing that's wrong. And you're going to be like, well, how come they have the nice car or the big bank accounts or this and that? He says, look, don't worry about that. Don't fret over it. Definitely don't be envious of it. Then he says, because he wants you to consider what their end is going to be. He says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And it's saying here, it says, consider their end. Yes, they may have what you consider this world's pleasures, and it might seem like they're getting away with everything, but consider their end. If they die without Christ, they will spend eternity in a horrible place called hell. I'm going to encourage you tonight, as I did this morning, consider your end. Are you here tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you die without Christ, the Bible tells us you will spend eternity in a horrible place called hell where you'll be tormented day and night for all of eternity. And that's what he's saying. Look, when you start worrying about the evildoers, when you start becoming envious of them, instead of doing that, consider their end. And then he begins to give them some directives and gives them some different things to consider. And these are things I think is wonderful advice, not only for those that are graduating, but for all of us as an older man, as David is giving and just speaking and telling him, here's some things you need to do. Don't fret. Don't be envious. But it says, trust in the Lord. And this is the first thing. You got to learn to trust in God. Have you trusted in him for salvation? If you trust in him for salvation and you can count on him to save your soul, you can trust him in how to take care of your bank account. You can trust in him to take care of your daily lives. You can trust in him when people get sick. You can trust him for everything. He says, now look, don't be envious. Don't fret. Now trust in him. And then what's the next phrase? Do good. Just don't worry about the evildoers. Do good. Do what's right. And he continues on and he says, there's a promise connected with this. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He says, I'm going to take care of you. If you're trusting in me, you're doing good, I'm going to take care of you. In verse number 4, this is what I consider the key verse for me in this passage, is delight thyself also in the Lord. It's not just about trusting. That's where a lot of people disconnect. Okay, I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in God. Now he says in verse number 4, delight thyself. Find pleasure in God. Enjoy your relationship with God. You know, how can young people that we're talking about today, they've been coming to church all their lives and they've been here for many years, maybe all their lives, and then they hit a certain age and they get out on their own and get their own place and even start their own families and stop going to church? How does that happen? They trusted in God, but they didn't delight in him. They didn't find pleasure in God. They didn't enjoy the relationship. It was just part of their lives. And it's something, yeah, I'm going to trust God to do this. I'm going to trust God to do that. They did not make it a delight. They desired and they put their delights and they put their pleasures and other things. Sometimes it's a guy, sometimes it's a girl, sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's in a school or a frat house. Sometimes it could be many different things, and it's something that has turned their eyes, and instead of finding pleasure in God, they find pleasure in something else. So when it comes time that they make a decision, and they're like, well, you know what? I'm getting more out of something else than I am God. But you know what that does? It leads you to the path of destruction. See, in verse number 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And look at that phrase, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I mentioned this morning, it answers two questions that Christians struggle with. Why do the heathen seem like they're prospering? And number 2, why aren't I giving my prayers answered? It's because of the fact we're not delighting ourselves in God. If we will delight in him and we will have our pleasure in him and we enjoy him, and he will give his desires to us, and they will become our desires. That's when we get our prayers answered. That's when he gives us the desires of our heart. Then, you know what? That's how it happens. It was kind of funny. I went over to Victory's graduation the other day, and sometimes they let the kids tell what they're going to do. I thought it was comical. Some of the kids got up there and said they were planning on being an NBA superstar, or the one of the girls said she was going to be part of the Olympic high jump team. And that was not their aspirations. They were just trying to kind of being funny about it. And I thought it was cute. That's why we don't let our kids talk. That's why we do the talking for them. But they were talking about things that are desires on people's hearts. And they were saying, if I could do anything, this is what I might want to do. And God is saying here, delight thyself also in him. You know those things that you desire? You can actually become those things if you have the right desires. But how do you know what the right desire is? You learn to delight in him. You find joy in your relationship. You find joy in your word. And we went this morning and looked at, I think it was 9 different passages in Psalms 119 where he says, thy law is my delight. Thy statutes, they're my delight. Thy commandments, they're my delight. These are the things that I find pleasure in above everything else, is God and his word. How do you get there? You know what? The more you know him, the more you're going to love him. The more you grow closer to him, the more he's going to grow closer to you. And there is a pleasure there. There are some days when you read your Bible and it's closed and you don't want to leave. There's other days when it seems like it's so cold and this and that. And that's when you need to turn to God and say, God, I want you. I need you. I want to delight in you. And then it says in verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. There needs to be made a commitment. But don't give up on this commitment. How many times have we made a commitment to God and we've wanted to delight in God and we wanted to trust in him, but he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. And it says, trust also in him. And then what's the next phrase? And he shall bring it to pass. We got to give God time. Pastor, I've been praying too long for it. Have you delighted yourself in him? Because if you delight in him and his desires are in your heart, he's promised you in his word, he's going to answer those desires. He's going to give you those desires. He's going to give you the whatever you ask if you delight in him. But you got to let him bring it to pass. In his way, in his timing. David's a perfect example of that. What did he do? He was running from the king. He committed his way unto the Lord. He was trusting in him. And then someday he became king. What happened with Joseph? You know, for what? Those 30 years? Or how many years it was that he was stuck from prison to this spot and then Potiphar's household and this and that. He committed his way unto God. And it didn't happen day one. What happened? It took time. He'll bring it to pass. Verse number 6, you get this passage of scripture and it says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. You know, we don't need to worry about what other people think. God will bring these. We don't have to defend ourselves when somebody is, you know, he says, look, he'll bring your righteousness as the light and thy judgment as noonday. Verse number 7 is where we're going to look at, and we're going to skip around the Bible tonight looking at this thought. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know that I'm not an English major. Miss Karen many times has to just smile at me because of the fact that I mispronounce my words, which is, it happens. And she doesn't correct me very often. Every once in a while, she'll say, you should have said it this way. And I appreciate that. She could have said it 100 different times, but she only does it every once in a great while. But what God gave me out of this verse, and if I'm grammatically wrong, just don't tell me. But it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So what I'm thinking is that if we rest in the Lord and we're waiting patiently for him to do something, it doesn't say on him, because sometimes when we give God a request and say, God, this is what I want, and I'm waiting on you to do this. Instead, we're resting in God. We found a rest in God. We have trusted in him. We have delighted in him. We have committed to him. And we're saying, okay, God, I'm waiting for you to do the next step. And continues on by saying, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. He says, look, don't become angry about those things. And forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. It goes back, do good, don't do evil. Tonight, let's look at this for a few minutes about what biblical rest is. And a night where we would say, hey, you need to do this, this, and this, and push, and push, and push. But I tell you, when it comes to spiritual rest and biblical rest and what we need for our hearts and our lives, if our young people could learn that life and our spiritual lives are not all about go, 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 do, do, do. It's about trusting, delighting, committing, and then resting in God. I've done everything I can, Lord. I'm going to let you take care of the rest. A biblical definition for biblical rest, I found, is the assurance or the confidence that if I cease from self-effort and rely on Christ's finished work, I will be refreshed. That's responded in the Bible in lots of different ways. Wait on the Lord. And it says, you shall mount up with wings, eagles. There's lots of different places. But the assurance that if I cease from self-effort, stop trying to do it myself, stop trying to push and push and push, and my own, trying to make spiritual things happen on my own and in my own strength and in my own power. So like pushing that car to the pump. You know, if I keep on doing, no, it says the assurance that if I cease from self-effort and rely on Christ's finished work, I will be refreshed. Now, this is not talking about being lazy. That'd be ridiculous. Rest has nothing to do with being lazy. Biblical rest does, it's probably the opposite in the idea that we've done everything that God has told us to do. We've labored, we've done this, this, and this, but we're leaving the rest up to God. Nothing about being a slothful person at all. It's important in the world that we live in that we can learn to rest in our soul for God. The Bible even speaks about having rest for your souls. And we're going to look at that verse in Jeremiah 6:16. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, Jeremiah is prophesying, he is teaching, he's saying all these things to the nation of Israel. He says, ask for the old ways, the good ways, and if you will do that, then you will find rest for your souls. And you can imagine him, he's preaching and prophesying to a nation that is getting ready to be captured and taken into slavery. And he says, you'll find rest for your souls if you'll learn to do things God's way, the old ways, the old paths. In Psalms 37, the Bible is not speaking of a rest when it comes to what happens on our final days. And there is people who are laid to rest. We have rest in eternity, rest in heaven. There is a future rest. What we sang tonight, near the cross, there is a day beyond the other side. You know what? We are going to get to our rest. It's daily living here, because he's talking about it. Don't fret about the evildoers. Don't be envious of him. Don't get angry about it. Rest in the Lord. Have confidence in him. Trust in him. Relax in God, because he has everything in control. I know that sometimes in our lives we are in a society that pushes us and pushes us, and we are so busy to the point that we become overwhelmed, and the last thing that any of us get is physical rest. But we're talking about spiritual rest. The things that we can just say, okay, Lord, I don't have to do this effort in order to please you. I want to live for you. I remember the day I was saved. I was either 8 or 9 years old. I remember what it was like to have that burden taken off me. He says, you're only 8 or 9 years old. I remember the conviction of God that fell on my heart, fell on my soul that night. And it wasn't until I went forward and I asked Jesus Christ to save me that there was a rest that my soul had that night. And that's something that we should all look for. There is rest in a Savior. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Romans chapter number 5. I don't want to get to the spot where we as Christians and believers can have rest in Christ until we understand true rest is found through Jesus Christ. And if we do not know Christ, we will not know rest. If we do not have Christ, we will have nothing but a horrible future. God's not speaking of dying in eternity in Psalm chapter 37, but there is a restlessness in our soul until we know Jesus Christ. We should trust Him with our children, our job, with our mates. We should trust Him with everything. But as believers, we know that we're going to die and go to heaven. But if you're an unbeliever, the Bible speaks much about the need that you have. Romans chapter number 5, and I remember that night, it was a Dick Seaton revival that was there, and been going to church all my life, and God spoke to my heart and showed me my need, and I got rest, that rest for my soul. Romans chapter number 5, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have peace. You know, truly to have rest, we must have peace. You can have peace through God, through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And some religions, and religion tell you, look good, do good, act good, and then if you work enough, you do enough effort, then you can get to heaven. Now, that's not what the Bible says here. How can you have peace with God? It says it right here in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I already have peace with God. Well, look down at what it says in verse number 10. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The Bible says that if you're without Christ and you do not know Jesus Christ, you are the enemy of God. And the only way you can be reconciled is through the death of His Son, that Jesus Christ had to pay that sin debt. If there was a different way, they would have done it differently. But He had to die in order for our relationships to be reconciled. Look what it says in verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, unable to save ourselves, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse number 8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We can be saved through Him because of the fact that He died for us. I would encourage you tonight, if you're here and do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can know Him. You can have peace with God. You can be reconciled unto God because God saw our need and He died for us. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God's prompting your heart, speaking to your heart. That's something I need. Conviction saying, you know that's something you need. Let me encourage you tonight to receive that. To accept that. This morning in the Sunday school class, we talked about the teenagers, about the Holy Spirit's prompting and how He prompts us. And we used the idea of when we have our plays, there's usually somebody sitting down here on the front row and they're whispering words when they forget their lines. Of course, nobody forgets their lines. Everybody knows them perfectly. Remember that one night when Wesley, when he encouraged his wife and said, speak up, I can't hear you. He's up here and he's acting and he's Grandpa Billy up here. Sweet Miss Janet sitting right down there. She's being willing to be helpful, and she's whispering these words because he forgot a line. And she's like, I can't hear you, speak up. You know, what are those people doing? They're prompting them. They're trying to help them. They're encouraging them. That's what conviction is. It prompts our hearts. It shows us there's a need there. And I believe there's people in this room today that need Christ. And you're never going to have the rest that we're talking about until you truly believe and trust in Him. Take your Bible now to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11, verses 28 through 30 is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture besides Psalms 37:7. But Matthew chapter number 11, verses 28 through 30, familiar passages of Scripture. Those of us that have been in church any length of time could probably quote these verses. But the question is, how often do we take Him up on this offer? How can you have rest? The rest that God's talking about, not being envious, not fretting over these things, and not being angry about these things. How can we commit and delight and trust in Him? Matthew chapter 11 tells us this. Look what it says in verse 28. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, this is, if you're out there and you're working hard, God's saying, I have an offer for you. It's rest. Verse 9, number 29. Take my yoke upon you and hear of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Very quickly, there's three things in this that helps us get biblical rest. Once again, if we stop and we let the Lord take care of things, we trust in Him, we have confidence in Him, and we stop all our self-effort trying to make things happen in our flesh, and we trust in God and what He's done, that's what rest is. What's the first thing I want you to see is we have to come. We have to stay in the ways of the Lord. Jesus makes this offer. It's to come. First, you think about there's an offer for coming, for salvation. All who come to Him, He will no wise cast out. But come unto Him. This is referring to a believer. I know you're heavy laden. I know you labored. And now I want you to come unto me. The Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, save the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, God says, if you will come unto Him, He will give you rest. And the proverb says, the way of the transgressor is hard. What a difference that we hear from Jeremiah 6:16. Proverbs says, the way of the transgressor is hard. Jeremiah 6:16 said, God's ways. That's rest for your souls. There is a choice you can make in your life. You can come unto God and allow Him to give you the rest He's offering. Go and do things His ways. He can give you rest for your souls. Or you can be like the way of the transgressor. Our life's going to be hard. Some of us made hard choices in our life, tough choices. And we're living in heart. We're reaping what we've sowed. Because we've done this, this, and this, God has allowed these things to happen to us. We do not know rest. We are tempted to sometimes to just quit because things have gotten hard and tough. You ever been there? Ever want to just quit? It's because many a times we have not sought God for the rest. He's saying if we will come unto Him, He will give us rest. How often do we take Him up on that? First thing is come. The second thing is take. And I think this is important. It says, look what it says in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now, he's saying if you'll take my yoke, as reference there, the work, and then you're going to find rest. See, Christ's rest is not the idea that there's no yoke. You know, the finding rest with Jesus Christ does not mean that we sit and do nothing. You know, we're not couch potatoes when it comes to Christians. You know, Bible says that we're supposed to rest in the Lord. I'm going to go and I'm going to sit and let God do everything. No, that's not it. It means that we're going to rely on the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do the work, and we're going to rest in Him. But it does say here, take my yoke. It's take my yoke upon you. We will find rest by serving Him. I tell you, one of the most unrestful nights that I have, or unrestful days I have, is when I don't do what I know I'm supposed to do for the Lord. When I don't witness like I should. When I don't study like I should. When I don't pray like I should. When I don't read my Bible like I should. All day long, there's an unrest in me because I haven't done what I should. But God is saying, hey, look, if you take my yoke, if you do things my way, He says, well, that seems like a lot about self-effort. No, no, no. The difference is we're doing things God's ways. We're not going to try to please man. We're not worrying about pleasing other people. We're not worried about pleasing this and that. We're worried about taking up God's yoke, what God has intended for us to do. We're not adding things to the God's yoke. We are just saying, okay, Lord, I am taking your yoke and I am doing this with you. We're working together on this. And that's what he's saying here. What is the hard yoke that we try to make ourselves wear? The yoke of serving for people's acceptance. Serving for the approval of other people will exhaust you. I've tried to do it. I used to say, I'm trying to make everybody happy. Now I say, I'm just trying not to make anybody mad because you can't make everybody happy. You know, so-and-so says it's too hot. So-and-so says it's too cold. It's too loud in here. It's too soft. You would not believe some of the things. Instead, God is saying, you don't have rest when you're trying to please everybody. But you know what? You can find rest when you try to please Him. Take my yoke upon you. People are fickle. People are a hard taskmaster. People are unpredictable. People have different expectations. People have different reasons for their expectations. Serving for the approval of people is always a losing and exhausting proposition. But God says here, if you will take His yoke and do things His way, you can actually have rest. I look for that. I long for that. I want that. The third thing I want you to see here is not only come and take. Third thing I want you to think about is learn. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There is rest in growth. As we study God's word and applies his truths to our own lives, we learn how to more effectively live his principles. Our culture is saturated with opportunities for amusement. And I don't think there's anything wrong with amusement. We went on vacation and we went to an amusement park. You know, there's nothing wrong with enjoying times and spending times. I get that. But there's no replacement for learn of me. If we truly want to have rest, we're going to have to learn to come unto him. We're going to have to learn to take his yoke and see and do things his way. And we're going to have to continue to learn of him. You know, the word muse means to think. And I think it's important that then that idea, the prefix of the Latin is the word means no and the idea a. So it's saying amusement means you're not supposed to think at all. You know what? There are times for amusement. That's not supposed to be our lives, though. The Bible tells us we're supposed to be people who are dedicated to his word, people who are delighting in his word, people who are meditating in his word. Sometimes we do need to give our minds a rest, but what he is saying is that we need to learn of him. It's something, if we really truly want to find rest, we're going to continue to come to him. We're going to continue serving his way, and we're going to continue to learn of him. None of us has ever reached that spot where we can't learn some more. I think the person that actually gets it is the person who says, you know what? I don't know enough. I want to learn more. I think the person who says, hey, I'm dumb as a doornail when it comes to these things. Give me more, God. I want to learn more. I want to grow more. I know there's more in this book, and I love learning this book. I delight in learning this book. Lord, please, with an open mind, I'm coming anxiously wanting to just embrace the Word of God and learn of the Word of God, and I want to learn of you. I want to understand you better. But that's not what we usually do. We already have our preconceived notions and our mindset of what it is, and this is what it means, and this is how I'm going to apply it, and this is what we can make the Bible say, our own private interpretations, many times anything we wanted to. But is it the Word of God that we're trying to learn of him? Are you finding yourself with rest? I think most of us say, no, I don't have rest. I'm anxious. I'm the one that's fretting. I'm the one that's envious. I'm the one that's angry. I'm the one that I just keep on trying and trying and trying, and nothing ever happens. Nothing ever gets accomplished, and it doesn't seem like anything is working. I don't have rest. Well, David's saying, hey, look, as an older man, David's coming and saying, look, don't worry, don't fret, don't be envious. It's wrapped up in trusting in him, delighting in him, and committing to him. And once you've done those things, rest in him. Once you've already learned to trust in him, once you learn to enjoy and delight in him, and once you've made that commitment, let the Lord bring it to pass, now you can rest in him. Don't get angry. Don't get angry. Don't do evil, it says. Just learn how to rest. So my encouragement to those that are graduating is, right now, you might think that you can accomplish anything and you're never going to get tired. I've seen Christian Bateman run on a treadmill before. I get tired just watching him because he just keeps on going and going and going and going. I'm like, you're trying to put the rest of us to shame. You know, at this point in time, it might be, but young people get tired too. You just see them at the end of camp. Usually they're worn out. Why? It's because we need physical rest. But spiritual rest or biblical rest is the assurance, believing that if I cease from my self-effort, if I stop trying to do it in my own power and in my own strength, if I stop trying to push and push and push in my own power, my own strength, and I rely on Christ's finished work, I will be refreshed. That's what rest is, being refreshed. Someone asked me today, did I have a restful week? Or other people asked, are you refreshed from your vacation? I'm like, no. Vacation with teenagers is not restful. When he got back, well, that week, no, the week was long. And that's good. The weeks are supposed to, we are supposed to labor. We are supposed to work. We are supposed to be busy. But we're also supposed to be able to come to him with our labors, We're supposed to yoke up with him and work alongside him. And he'll give us rest. As we learn and grow of him and him, he will give us that rest. You know, sometimes it's easy to get frustrated. Sometimes it's easy to say, hey, you know what, this is not worth it. Jesus says, come unto me. Come. I can give you rest. Doesn't mean stop. One of the worst things you can do is stop serving when things are not going well. He says, come unto me. Take my yoke. He's saying, look, I got a job for you to do, and I'm willing to yoke up with you. Yoke, work with me. And the great thing is, he can pull a lot more weight than we can. Yoke up with me. That's where you're going to find the rest. That's where you're going to find the help for your soul. In a world when it's amazing how many people commit suicide today. Amazing how many people are on drugs to try to make themselves just be calm. And I know there are certain medical reasons. I get that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that lets unrest, lets people that are worrying constantly, and people that are careful. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. You know, it's amazing. Our young people, we can learn to rest in God now. As you grow older, it will help you to grow. Trust in him. Trust in him, delight in him, commit to him, and rest in him. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed for a time of invitation.